Nicodemus in our gospel reading is a Pharisee. He's an expert in Hebrew Bible. He's a religious leader, and he happens to be part of a religious group called the Pharisees, who we see at odds with Jesus during his whole earthly ministry. The Pharisees challenged Jesus over and over again. They tried to catch him in what they thought were lies and false teaching. They accused Jesus of being from the devil at one point. They continually criticized Jesus for who he spent time with, saying he is a friend of sinners. And they complained that he eats with tax collectors and prostitutes. And Jesus had some of the harshest words for the Pharisees. You'll remember his whole series of woes to the Pharisees, exposing their hypocrisy. He even makes fun of them, exposing their lies and their over-application of the law, when he talks about how they would whitewash tombs and how they would try to strain out gnats from their drinks, but then swallow camels. So it's not surprising that Nicodemus would not want the other Pharisees to see what he is doing that day. He doesn't want them to know that he is on a pilgrimage to meet this Jesus of Nazareth. After Jesus' death and resurrection, we learn that there is another Pharisee, Joseph of Arimathea, who is also a secret follower of Jesus. But for now, Nicodemus seems to be alone. He does not want anyone to know about his visit to this rabbi and healer. And so he goes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. He feels safer in the shadows so that no one will find out what he is doing. This is an ancient technique. In fact, it's the oldest one in the book. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, tried to hide themselves too from God, to hide their bodies with fig leaves and hide themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Adam says, "I heard the sound of you, O Lord, in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And so we, children of Adam, try to obscure our true selves to this day. We're aware that most crimes are committed at nighttime. We're less likely to be spotted and identified, presumably. Shame and guilt seem to keep us in the shadows. Like Adam and Eve, we may even think we can keep God in the dark, hide things from him. But I also think this is true of unnecessary shame and guilt. Nicodemus is not doing anything wrong, but he was afraid. He was living captive to his fears, afraid of what others might think or say about him. He's very likely worried about what his colleagues, the Pharisees, think. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. I think it's a courageous step that he's taking. A step forward. I believe Nicodemus has faith, and enough faith to believe that Jesus is a safe place for him. Nicodemus can be himself. He can say that he knows that God is with Jesus, and he can tell Jesus that faith has taken root in his life, but he needs a little watering and a little encouraging. He's ready for Jesus to challenge him to step further even more. And so our true selves emerge. We come out of the shadows, so to speak, more easily when we can approach someone too. Someone who is a safe place. Someone who we know is not poised to to criticize us or judge us. And Jesus is that safe place. When we draw near Him in prayer, He accepts us who we are. It's good news that He came for the unrighteous and then He dines with the sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, because we have confidence that He will accept us to the table as well. He knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And the truth is that Jesus is drawing Nicodemus out of the shadows. Jesus is calling Nicodemus out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Nicodemus is not going down a dark path that leads to death. Whosoever believes in Him, our text says, whoever trusts in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Our journey out of the shadows and even through the cover of darkness, through the valley of the shadow of death, does not end with death and the tomb. It begins anew with forgiveness and rebirth from the womb. The womb of Christ's church by the water, the word, and the Holy Spirit of baptism. We are born again to God. We're born from above in the kingdom of God. This is the great surprise for Nicodemus, a wonderful one at that, that we should not fear the light of Christ. Yes, the light exposes our darkness, and it is a terrifying revelation at times. But it also drives the darkness away. The darkness is overcome by the light, John tells us earlier in his gospel. Sin, shame, and guilt are scattered. And the water and the word and the spirit washes it away. The good news is that we can be true to ourselves. And we can be true to God, whoever we are. God calls us out of our hiding places in the cover of darkness. I notice we have a few Spanish speakers here this morning. And I love the Spanish word for birth, which is dar a luz, to give light. This is what happens when we are born. We come out of the darkness of the womb into the light of the world. And in Christ, when we're born again, born from above, we come out of the darkness of our sin and death and doubt into the light of the kingdom of God and the light of Christ. He will challenge us when we step into this light, but it is a challenge based on love and acceptance to draw us further into His light. And He challenges us not just to be informed, but transformed by the Holy Spirit. We are reborn as children of light. The light exposes our sin, drives away guilt and shame, and then even dresses us up for all eternity. Christ is lifted up on the cross in death so that we are lifted up by the Spirit to eternal life. We are now clothed in His light, and we shine like the midday sun forever. God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs. Be of good cheer. For God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done. And justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.